Good evening. This is W2TTT. We're going to start the TechNet in about 30 seconds. Okay, good evening. This is W2TTT, Gordon. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Any stations with emergency or priority traffic, please call K2BAR. Okay, good news is nothing was heard. Alrighty. Good evening, everyone. The purpose of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net is to provide a forum for dialogue about amateur radio, electronics, communications, anything depends on those things for their enjoyment or proper operation. Amateur radio is a diverse subject and area, and we benefit from having licenses and using our God-given talents for the betterment of ourselves and others. So this forum allows for an exchange of ideas on that subject or those subjects. Format for checking is a little different than other nets. You'll check in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above. We'll do it in an orderly manner. We'll call by call sign groups. So the first call sign group we'll call for is the Alpha. Any station whose call sign begins with Alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above. Okay, nothing heard in the Alpha group. Any station whose call sign begins with the letter November, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
K2BAR, this is N2OEL, one question.
Good evening, Noel. Very good, N2OEL acknowledged. Any other stations whose call signs begin with November, please call K2BAR. Okay, let's go to the Whiskey stations. Any station whose call sign begins with Whiskey, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above for the net. Please call K2BAR. K2BAR. WE2R. Charlie, no questions. Good evening, Charlie. WE2R. You said no questions? Yeah, that's right, Gordon. No questions. Well, happy Hanukkah to you. Your festivities are coming up before Christmas, so let me take this time to say happy Hanukkah. Alrighty. Any other Whiskey stations, please call K2BAR. Other stations with Whiskey, please call K2BAR. Okay. Any stations whose call sign begins with, let's see, where are we? We are at Kilo 2. Any Kilo 2 stations, please call K2BAR.
K2DSL, David.
David, good evening. Do you have any questions? And thank you for posting that wonderful representation of the flyer.
Actually, I have a comment, not a question.
Most excellent. Thank you, sir. I'm noting that you have a comment. We'll catch you on that cycle as well. Any other Kilo 2s?
2AMI, Tony, no questions.
Good evening, Tony, K2MI. Any other Kilo stations? Okay, any stations whose call sign begins with Kilo, please call K2BAR with your questions, with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB. Richard, no questions or comments.
Good evening, Richard. Happy Hanukkah to you too, sir. Any other Kilo stations?
KA2BDU, Talmud, and I have a comment. Over.
Good evening, Helmut. I got your note for a comment. Wow, we got one question and two comments tonight. That's excellent. All right, anybody else with the Kilo group. Any Kilo call sign, please call K2BAR. Any station wishing to check into the net, please call K2BAR.
This is Whiskey 2, Japan, Echo, Kilowatt, Don. Question.
No question? Yeah, Don, we didn't get that. We talked past each other a little bit. Did you have a question?
Negative, negative.
Thank you, sir. Welcome aboard. All right, any other stations for that, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, nothing heard. Well, let's go to our first question of the night. Actually, right now our only question. And to OEL, your question, sir. Good evening, Noel. K2BAR.
Okay, my question has to do with the idea of multiple strand dipoles. I know you can cover several bands by having each one cut for a particular frequency. You can then take and tune it, starting with the lowest band and going up to the highest, I believe, is how you do it, and eventually have a reasonable antenna that's resonant in all the bands. You can also take one particular frequency. In this case, I'm thinking 80 meters, and which is a very wide band, which, of course, you know, it's very hard to go from 75 meters to 80 meters. And I understand you could, if you keep the wires to at least 6 inches apart after they spread from the center point, that you could make it resonant as, say you use three wires, you could have it at both ends of the band in the center. The question is it practical? What would be the minimum wires, number of wires necessary? I've noticed in the ARL, there's been some articles in UST, basically they formed, a cone of wires. They had or four, five, six wires with the ones I've seen have mostly four wires with a cross piece, X in the center. And of course, then there's a different distance. The greater the distance, the more effective circumference of the radiant element, and the wider the frequency range. So that's the question, K2BR and Polio.
Okay, you're really describing three different antennas, although two are a variation on the same theme. Let's take the last one first, the cone. The cone, as you pointed out, is making an electrically fat wire, if you will. And that's fine. You can do that. It works very, very well. And you're getting your broadband response by cutting a set of wires that are parallel in some sort of, you know, volumetric mode, as you said, a cone, or a tube, if you will. And in so doing, you've created a very fat electrical line, even though all the wires are cut the same length. And that works fine. So I think we understand the operating principle that's going on there. You know, it's the difference between the narrowbandness of a piece of number 28 versus the broadbandness of a, you know, a half-inch piece of, you know, let's say double-aught, you know. The double-aught on any given frequency is going to be more broadbanded than, you know, the piece of number 28. We're good with that so far?
I agree with that.
So one down, two to go. All right, the other two examples are variations on each other. And I've tried them both, and here's what I came up with. When you're dealing with multiple band dipoles, yeah, okay, so as long as you fan out the wires, everything works pretty well, and you get a dipole essentially for each band that you have a resonant dipole element pair on. But the trade-off with that is that you end up with a problem where you sometimes don't have the harmonic suppression that you might otherwise like. It's not a big deal, especially with modern tuners, but
I will say that, you know, they work fine. I mean, I've built them everything from, you know, the 2040 dipole out of twin lead, where one wire of the twin lead is cut to 20 meters, and the other cut is longer to 40 meters. I actually take out the surplus piece of wire, by the way. You can do the same thing for 80 and 40. You can do the same thing for 80 and 15. You can do any number of things. We're good there so far?
Yes.
The last one, the research seems to be a little different, and it seems to have worked and not worked for me in both configurations, and that is the in-band multiple element game. There are times where it seems I've made them, and I'll cut one for, let's say, $39.50, another piece for $37.50, put the two pieces of dipole together, and away I go. Works great. Other times, I've made it, and, you know, it's not worked. I cannot explain why. I truly don't. But I think in general, if you have a long and a short wire, and they have a common feed point in the same band, I think that'll be fine. And I'm not sure that the physical spreading of the wires matters a whole lot. I'm sure it matters on what length you ultimately arrive at for the short and long wire. But, you know, I think it's a function of, you know, what kind of wire you're using and, you know, what the velocity factor is, and coupling between the two parallel conductors, and if they're close together or far apart, it could matter a lot. You know, one could, and I'm not quite sure of the mathematics on that, but I think what I would start with is I'd make a dipole for 80 meters or 40 meters, whatever you want, and then 80 meters in this case probably, and then I would cut away pieces of the second conductor if you're using twin lead. Let's say at 50 kilohertz increments and see what happens. Then I would do the same thing maybe with big honking ladder line, like, you know, like 8 inch or 6 inch ladder line, even if you have to homebrew it, and start cutting away the second piece in 50 kilohertz increments to see where things are, and experiment that way. I think that would settle the issue. Go ahead, Mr. Don.
Recall some novice antennas years ago where they took a 100-foot length of ladder line and they converted it by cutting it judiciously. They reduced the two pieces of that to get an 80-meter dipole and a 40-meter dipole out of it. And of course, the 40-meter dipole would also function on 15. Of course, that was before the days of novices had 10 meters, but you had a three-band dipole. But some of that stuff can be a little tricky when you have circuits like that. I think they don't recommend a odd harmonic kind of a thing like a 15 and a 10 meters, for example. It would be like a 10 meter and a 20 meter maybe. But it depends on what band you want as far as multiple band dipole, a multi-band dipole, but the other thing with the 75-meter dipole, there's all kinds of schemes for that. I recall one that the fellow had an 80-meter, if you would, folded dipole, and then we had what they, in between it, and that was on spreaders, and in between the spreaders was what they called a sleeve-type dipole, which was just a piece of wire. Well, it wasn't at the high end of the band, it wasn't connected to anything, but when you applied RF to the low band low end antenna, the other one, the resonant wire actually did the radiating. Another mystery of the antenna hobby. Back to that, W2JK.
Well, that's interesting. That's not one I had thought of, but sure, why not? Just, you know, inductively coupling between the two, and I'm sure there's an inductive and capacitive component to any two wires in proximity to each other. The question is just the magnitude, and so that's kind of interesting. But in general, I would think if you had a short and a long wire in the same band, I mean, Nora, if I get this right, your primary concern is to solve the in-band problem to get more bandwidth, and your choices are build this tubular, if you will, conical kind of thing, or, you know, something mechanically simpler, which in this case would be a what do you call it, two or three wires in parallel, each cut to a different segment of the 80 and 75 meter bands. Is that right?
Correct, because it would be mechanically simpler because it would just hang down. But the question would be, would you need three, four, five wires? What would be, you know, optimal? Because it's not something that you want to keep putting up and adding to and taking down and testing. Pretty much you want to build it, put it up. It's wintertime after all. KWAR, it's OEM.
All right, let me get, well, yeah, what better time to enjoy 75 meters in the wintertime? I know 80 and 160 have been just wonderful lately. All right, let's consider this. Why don't you simply take a piece of twin lead and cut one piece for $39.50, another piece for $37.50, you know, in each half, and let her rip. You could try, I mean, if you don't want to run a lot of experiments, just do that and see what happens. Just tie the two center points together on each side and feed them with coax. Make sure you use some form of ballon, even if it's like eight turns of like 6 or 8 inches of coax, you know, taped together in a circle, a loop at your feed point, or just get a ballon, whichever. I'd go ahead and do that and run the risk of seeing how it works. Worst case is it doesn't work the way you think. But, you know, I'm going to caution you before you do that. If you're worried about having to take things up and down, let me say this. No 75 or 80 meter antenna seems to go up the first time and give you a flat SWR as designed, because the dependencies of the local environment are just so numerously various that you know, the chances of you're getting it right, even for a simple dipole on its design frequency, one design frequency, is a lot. And I would start with two wires, by the way.
Since I have a plentiful supply of twin lead, perhaps I could mount two or three sets of twin lead, one above the other. And that way, you'd have an effect. If you had three sets, you'd have six wires. I thought twin lead was so close together that it would be capacity coupled, and I was afraid that wouldn't work. So that's why I was considering individual wires, keeping them at least 6 inches apart, and so oil.
Well, you can do that too. You go build some ladder line. You know, build 130-odd feet of ladder line and start slicing. One suggestion I can make about stock material, you can find rod stock at Home Depot with these little reflective lollipops on. I'm sure you can find a reason to use the lollipops, you know, for something. But the rod stock is about 3 feet of fiberglass rod, and I think you can get that rod stock, cut it, affix your wire to it, and make ladder line galore out of it. If you're really worried about, you know, capacitively coupling issues, then just make it just super giganda big and make it a foot. What the hell? It's not going to hurt you. And go from there. The only other thing I could think of that would be mechanically, again, back to that nightmarish stage that you're worried about, would be to make spreaders of about 8 or so inches in diameter, cross pole or, you know, cross to each other, and make those as 4-point or 4-conductor spreaders. Just shape them as a T, and have them as your 4-wire spreaders, and then you'll have that big effect of a broadbanded conductor. But even then, you're going to have to use something on the order of like number 12 or 14 stranded just to keep the thing up in the air, because it's, you know, it's a lot of weight. When you put those, you know, you want to keep those spreaders light. I was thinking fiberglass spreaders of that type that I'm thinking at Home Depot with the reflective lollipops. Just pull the lollipops off and start cutting, as I said. That also can get a little expensive, just for your reference. Anybody else have some comments?
Who am I with a comment?
Mr. Tony, go right ahead.
Can you imagine what this antenna you described would be like in New Hampshire last week? With ice storms, got a lot of surface accumulated, a lot of ice. Chances are, will not survive an ice storm. I think you should think about a different kind of antenna if you want multiple bands. And I again repeat that I'm very successful with the Carolina Windham. The only expense in the Carolina Windham is getting a 4-to-1 down, but just dealing with a single wire hung between the center feed point. Not multiple connections, fiber collection with the minimum system antenna. I'm amazed at the antenna that I put up here in my yard, which is a 40-meter version of the Carolina Windham, and that it covers all the bands with less than 2-to-1 SWR, much less in some cases, and is easily tunable with my radio's antenna tuner. Back to you, Vic Gordon.
Well, I think any of these, what I'll call large dimensional antennas, especially ones with spreaders and things like that, are going to be a problem. That's why I was thinking that, you know, maybe, you know, two wires separated by a good chunk would be better. The other thing you can do, like Don suggests, is, you know, make one, you know, feed one of that wire and then just place the other one on the other side of the spreader. That could be a lighter one, a lighter wire, and use the other one as a support and main transmission line. The active element, if you will, and the passive element could be the second one. You could also do it if you were hard feeding both of them. Things like stranded copper weld and all sorts of fun things like that in ice storms really, really matter. There are people I know who still don't have power up there. And don't kid yourselves, boys. That could be us tomorrow. So, heads up. I mean, I'm going to be doing some extra battery charging tonight. So that's a good reminder that you kind of prodded me toward, Tony. Make sure your generator is there. Make sure it's going to start. Make sure you have spare fuel. Make sure that your batteries are charged. Make sure you know where your flashlights are. Cooking things, what happens if your heat goes out, how are you going to fire up the heater, all those wonderful things. In my case, I'm going to pull the main breaker out of my house and backfeed what I got to through a 220 outlet. Not pretty, don't recommend it. You did not hear it from me that you should go do that, but if you know what you're doing, you can get away with it in a pinch, and it beats having your pipes freeze and explode. But I don't think we're in that depth of that kind of cold here. But in my case, I would just run cords through the door, through a window, in the temperatures we're going to see this weekend into next week. But if it was like 10 degrees, yeah, I'd be doing something stupid. Trust me. I'll have a transfer switch. All right, let's back to the subject at hand here. Noel, I like the idea of, you know, if you have the cord, the wire, I think twin lead, start with twin lead, and I say 3950 and 3750, cut it and see what happens.
I happen to have the same 4-to-1 bomb that Tony has. We bought them from the same vendor. And something to think about is the wife called me for dinner, so I'm going to say 73.
Okay, very good. Before we move on, I want to see if there's anybody else who has a comment. I just want to preface it with a follow-up on Tony's comment about the Carolina Windham. As you know, Tony, I had some issues with that because I wasn't using a long enough follow-on piece of cable below the line isolator, which I think you also have to have, too. But one thing I had the pleasure of noting the other day is that while it doesn't load up real well, it hears really, really well on low angle signals, just like it's supposed to. I found that out the other day. And mine's not ideally situated. It barely clears the house. So I was thrilled when I heard, you know, early in the morning, at 6-7 in the morning, I was hearing, West Coast stations really, really well and best on my Carolina Wyndham. And all my antennas are oriented, all the wire antennas I have three of them. I have an NVIS antenna real low, I have an 8040 trapped dipole real high, and I have this Carolina Wyndham kind of just below, but 30 feet parallel and below to the 8040 trapped dipole. I have the Wyndham, and they're all oriented so that the wires go east-west. So I was incredibly pleased when the Wyndham was the was hearing what it was supposed to hear best, and that was kind of neat.
K2AMI.
Yeah, John.
I was recommended, but Dick, who's running an 80 meter Carolina Wyndham, claims that it even works well on 6 meters. I can't substantiate that claim myself. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm very impressed with the fact that the it covers the band nicely. I had one built, and I had it installed out at my nephew's house in Lake Opatcon. They did work the 10-meter contest last Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, and made about 42 contacts, which is kind of a lot of contacts for that particular band for that weekend. But they were as far south as Florida and as far west as Wisconsin on 10 meters and on up into the Canadian areas. So it was non-directional, and there were, of course, weren't a lot of stations on, but it did work quite a few.
Most excellent. Okay, any follow-ons on this? Otherwise, we're going to bag and tag this subject of antennas and go on to David's comment and Helmut's comment.
More comment about the ice storm, and that is that we just got a phone call here that they're running half a day school at Riverdale High School tomorrow. I've been told that there'll be school closing half a day because of the threatened storm. So, morning it will start, and it'll end at the lunchtime. So, they're expecting a lot of snow.
Yeah, Bergenfield doesn't do that. They either call school or they don't. It's kind of interesting. We shall see. Hey, I just got a note from Chris Peckham, of all people. Oh, good. Anyway, to him. I've known for years. Alrighty. That's good to know. And just everybody, get yourselves together, get your snow shovels all squared away. And as they say, get everything you need squared away so that you're in order for tomorrow morning. Especially if you have to go to work, take the time now and get it square. Alrighty. Mr. David, thank you for posting the bulletin and about the upcoming amateur radio course on January 2nd. And it's going to feature an all-star cast of instructors, including into IAG, and an even more all-star cast of the Barra VE team, courtesy of W2JEK and company. So it's quite impressive. So, your question, sir, K2DSL from K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2DSL, no problem, Gordon. I'd actually come there, but I'm going to be at Mount Snow then. Anyway, my comment was, I know last week I talked about my antenna, and I pulled it down over the weekend, and I brought it in on Kid Night on Tuesday, and Helmut and Rob, Chuck and Phil, who I think is heading back to Utah soon, we rewired where the coax connects to the ladder line, and yesterday I figured it was probably the best day to get it up, so I put it up, and at least so far, I'm able to tune on all the bands I was able to tune on before. So I know Helmut's on, so thank you very much, Helmut. Hopefully I'll keep my fingers crossed that it keeps working. That was just a comment I wanted to make. So back to you, K2BAR, K2DSL.
You had me with my heart in my throat because we have to let the repeater drop between our transmissions. And I know I tend to be a little quick too, but I was worried about that. Well, that's great. So your antenna's all mended up and working.
Yeah.
And it's no worse for wear. That's a good start. So, Mr. Helmet, since you are the next comment and also the object of the previous compliment, we're going to toss it to you, K2BDU, K2BAR.
KA2BDU. Thank you, Gordon. And David, I'm glad your antenna works again, and I was going to ask you that question, but you answered already. And actually, I don't have anything else. I wish you all a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. Back to Netta.
Thank you, Helmet, and a happy Hanukkah, and a Merry Christmas, and a happy and blessed New Year to everyone. And whatever the holiday you may celebrate, knock your socks off. Go for it. It's a good thing. As long as it's not, you know, Death to America Holiday Week, you know, I'm good. Anyway, sorry, I have such a humor here. Oh, dear me. So, and David, we will miss you. But next year, it's going to be trickier how to do this course because Christmas is going to be on Friday. Therefore, New Year's is going to be on Friday, so we have to kind of puzzle through what we're going to do about this course next year. What I'm thinking is we may do the Monday or Tuesday after Christmas and before New Year's. We might do something like that, but we have some time to think about that. We're also thinking of some other things to do, like something different just to break it up. But, you know, we're going to have these years where there's no weekend. Well, there's no, if you will, there's no intermediate weekend, therefore some time extra to drop the course into. So we'll see. We'll find something. I'll speak with my crack team of instructors and DEs. And whatever works for them is what I'm going to salute. I'll tell you that right now. This year we've got much better study materials available for everybody, and that in itself is, you know, a blessing. Alrighty. Let's do this. Let's take some more check-ins. And I have one or two announcements myself, and then we'll do club announcements. So, any other check-ins for the net, please call K2BAR with your questions, your comments, or the none of the above. Nobody wants to come play with us tonight. Alright. Very good. Sorry about that. Alrighty, a couple of things. As we've alluded to, there'll be an amateur radio course, one-day crash course, and we've got some really good study materials which we can send out to people. So if you know somebody who's been talking about being a ham and not walking the walk, and just doing the talk, we can help push them into the walk and get them squared away. We have a 9-page condensed study guide which you can cram into your head and come for the day. It'll be wonderful. We're going to do some demos and some other things. We're trying to motivate people to want to upgrade when they get their ham radio licenses. We've got enough of an instructor corps and other staff this time that we think we can pull off a rather interesting day. Let's see. Don, just for your reference, I guess there was an email from somebody else who wants to take the general test. I don't know if you got a chance to respond to him, but in your comments, if you would be so kind as to address that question. So now you had a general candidate in mind, and now I think I may have one. One of our attorneys from last year, actually. So it looks pretty good. I have one kid who's a scout from Wayne who's taking the course and not taking the test because he has to play a hockey game at 6 o'clock. So he's going to stay till about 4:30, and then he'll take the test at the test session later in the month. So I've already hooked that up, but I've already told him to leave $15 in his wallet and save it for when he takes the test. Anyway, so let me toss it to WTJEK, K2BAR.
K2BAR on the net, WTJEK. I want to say good evening to everybody. Yes, regarding the fellow, Peter, I believe his name was, I did respond to him, told him it was all right. When I go to one of these events, I have all my tests. I don't just carry the tech, I carry the tech generals and the extras with me. And assuming I have three extra class VEs, I can give the general and the extra class test. And so I did call my VEs, gave them a heads up. I said, don't commit right now, but in the course of the time, keep in mind that we're having a test session going on down there, so I know where I'm at when I do call you. That's not really a problem with that power. And the test session, the next para test session, will be on 23rd of January, I believe it is. We've got the fourth Friday in January, and that's because the school is having a dance the third Friday, which was the 16th. The 16th was originally my target date, but because of the school dance, we couldn't use the classroom that we usually do, and I figured the parking lot's going to be a mess with all the crowd of people coming around there, so I thought it's best to use it. Wait a week, because we're going to be delayed a week on the February test session also. So we'll be in good shape with that. So with that, back to that. W2JK.
So what is your test session in February?
Let me double check my calendar, get the date right, W2JK.
Alrighty, we'll get back to you in a moment. Anybody else have any questions, comments, confusions about the test or the course? Please call K2BAR.
Hey, Gordon, it's David. If I have the Bauer calendar right, it is the 27th of February. Is the February the session, and then in March, it's the 20th.
Okay, I can't speak to the March one, but boy, I'll tell you, these new dates are working for me for January and February. I'm almost always away for Barrett test session dates, so that's a good thing to think about. Maybe what I'll do is, going forward, is get myself credentialed as a VE and go pass the little test and go from there. Maybe I'll get that done. It's not a bad idea. I think you can do it online now. Or you can download the test online, fill it out, mail it in, or fax it in. I think they can credential you pretty quickly, actually. So that's something to think about as well. Alrighty. So I think we have that answer, Mr. Don. Any other comments?
And just everybody should know, that's JK, everybody should know that the test session fee went up to $15. That's about the only other big dues that we have. We are now allowed to keep up to $7 instead of plus $6 of that fee to handle expenses. So, I generally went to photocopy and close and turn the rest back up to them. Unless I have purchased equipment, I've purchased headphones and something like that in the past, but generally they're stationary and stuff like that over and above the photocopy, of course, they take care of that for me. Back to next. W2JK.
That's a great idea. Okay. Well, as I said, we're going to be doing some things this year in the course that are a little more focused on the slides and then the dialogue. We're going to have the same kind of end-of-day remediation capability if someone's stuck or concerned during the dinner hour, which are dinner a couple hours, actually, remediation and food time. And we're providing all the meals during the day. It's pretty cool, actually, snacks. And then we're also going to do some active mode demos and participatory activities so that people will know what the parts look like, how they do things. You know, add some realism to the stuff. It may not be stuff that's in the course, in the test, but will, you know, make what's on the test a little more real for people, and I think that's somewhat useful. Also,
kind of nudge the upgrade thing. I think that's key as well. So we're going to work that into the day. We have such an extensive staff this year. So anyway, that's what I have to say on that one. Any other comments regarding upcoming test sessions, courses, etc.? Okay, one last thing. I believe it's at the March Barra meeting, and maybe Tony, you're the man to answer this. The March Barra meeting, the Barra auction.
K2AMI, that's the Rogers, the first Sunday in March. And again, if you go to the Barra website, you'll find information there, including a flyer. And I would hope that somebody would print out flyers and circulate them on the Barra auction as well as the Barra Hamfest. But first Sunday in March is Barra auction.
Okay, and the flyers on the website?
The PDF format on the website. If you wanted to print them out and hand it up to your students at the meeting, it would be great. Even the Barra Hamfest auction was on the website. Be amazed what's on the website.
I just want to be able to hand it out. Well, I mean, if you read the bottom of the flyer, it even has the Barra website listed among several other local clubs. Because, you know, we want to try to encourage local amateur radio participation and support. Lord only knows this is an active club with good support, with a lot of different activities. Alrighty. Tony, do you want to make any other announcements? Okay, that's fine. Alrighty, any other questions or comments for the net before we move on to any other subjects? This is K2BAR. Any late check-ins, please call K2BAR. Okey-doke. Well, that settles it. Remind people that Straight Key Night is New Year's Eve, and I believe it's, I don't know, the first four hours of New Year's Eve. I forget what it is, but you can go find it on the web. But Straight Key Night is a lot of fun, and it's just a way to get on the air and goof around on CW, and you don't have any worries about having your the quality of your CW abused or abused about the quality of CW. You'll do fine. It's on New Year's Eve. And just for reference, at this time we are not planning to have a net on New Year's night. New Year's night at this time, we will not. Unless an announcement goes out to the club email saying that we are going to have a net on Christmas night. And Christmas night, I was thinking about it. I said, gee, it must be out of my mind. But I'm sure people will be receiving toys for Christmas, or someone in their family will have received some form of electronica. And so you can talk about that. Now, if you didn't receive anything of that nature tonight, or this year, we'd like you to talk about Christmas past, where you've received something that you really, really valued, either then, or because of what it was special, how you got it, or, you know, how you got it, how it worked out in subsequent time. You know, this was given to me at Christmas, and this is what I did with it, you know, that kind of thing. So, and Christmas, Hanukkah, a birthday, any of that kind of stuff will be fine. Doesn't have to be on the holiday itself. Any questions, comments, confusions about next week's net?
To JEK with a comment.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, the Straight Key Night is for January 1st, for the full 24 hours of January 1st, so go on into the end, until 0000, which is 7 p.m. our time here, until 7 p.m. The next, actually New Year's night, covers New Year's Eve, and all the way up to 7 o'clock on the next day, 7 p.m. So I have the bug out that they have. I use a straight key all the time. I have straight key inside all the time. As a matter of fact, it got so popular that there's a group called the Straight Key Century Club. If you just do a Google on SKCC, there's a group for that organization. They've got a couple thousand members, and they have organized activities throughout the year.
Really, that's interesting. And what do they do with these activities?
So they have some sprint contests and things like that. And there's another group, the North American QRP CW Club, NAQCC. And they have sprint contests. A two-hour sprint, it's either on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, depending on the month that he alternates, because it's like the second Tuesday or the third Wednesday or something like that of a month, and they alternate. It's on their website, and what they do with that is the idea being that if you can't make the Tuesday night, you can maybe make the Wednesday night, and they have a two-hour sprint contest, 20, 40, and 80 meters, and it's a low-key, not a real high-stress kind of contest. The idea is to get out and just make some contact, add a log and all that. And if you use a straight key, you can double your score. If you use a bug key, you can get a 1.5 multiplier. The idea with those is to keep the code speed down so that you're not rattled by the 35 word a minute stuff that some of these guys use on a big time contest. In fact, in that W2JK.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. You know, I've heard about the North American clubs. That's something to keep in mind as well. Well, you know, these are fun activities, and 2 hour sprints are good. I was actually thinking about one for this year, and I said, nah, not with the course today. Just go out and see what you can do. I figured we have enough things going on, to say the least. Alrighty. Well, as I said, with everybody, you know, not just charging your batteries, but get your personal supplies squared away, get your generator going, whatever else you need to keep happiness. Know where your meds are. Make sure there's enough of them. Make sure that you don't stumble around the darkness if the lights go out, or that you're unduly uncomfortable should the heat go away. So I want to thank everybody for a nice net. Last comments, please call K2BAR. Right. I'd like to thank N2OEL, WE2R, who I haven't heard on in a very long time, and good to hear you, Charlie, K2DSL, K2AMI, KC2PYB, K2BDU, W2JEK, W2TTT, your net control is off and clear. This is K2BAR, securing and recommending that people support the Bergen County Amendment Association. Gracious, please let us use their repeaters. Godspeed.